How we doing, everybody? Thanks for tuning into the Authoracast. Today, we're taking a step just across Andrew Young International Boulevard from Georgia World Congress Center and checking out what's next for the iconic former CNN Center. The CP Group acquired the property a few years back in 2021. They rebranded it to the Center, and now they're renovating the space that'll feature a whole lot of cool stuff for locals and visitors alike. I was able to sit down and chat with a couple of folks from the CP Group a few weeks back, Amanda Hendricks, the general manager of the Center, and Ryan Howard, a senior vice president of construction and development, and we talked about how they're reimagining the space and turning it into a dynamic mixed-use spot. And you'll also hear how the Center's fitting into the broader vision for downtown ahead of some massive global events like the FIFA World Cup next summer. All right, so thank you, Amanda Hendricks and Ryan Howard from over there across the street at the Center. Exciting stuff going on, and especially with all the signage and different things that we've seen coming up. Folks around the neighborhood and some folks that are in the building asking questions, everybody getting excited. So thank you for taking some time to talk about it today. I guess first off, kind of what drew CP Group to this space across the street, that's been there for years in this redevelopment project?
Yeah, it has been there for years. It's been there since 1976, to be specific. We really enjoy getting involved with, kind of complicated projects that have a strong legacy behind them, and know that they deserve a next chapter. And we had been looking at this project for a long time over the years, and when we had the opportunity to acquire it, we jumped on it. The legacy of the CNN, was developed by Tom Cousins, who is one of the prolific developers of Atlanta. And it was part of the Hawks coming to Atlanta back in the late 60s. There's just a lot of little threads that come together at that building when it was originally the Omni International Center. And then when Ted Turner acquired it in 88 and turned it into CNN's global headquarters. I mean, that's just a tremendous story, right? And knowing everything that's happening in the area, knowing downtown and the energy that's been down here with the sports entertainment and all the tourism venues, it just seemed like an amazing opportunity to take what was a relatively introverted, well-recognized but still introverted property and reintroduce it into the area and make it an asset to the community and to all the visitors that come to Atlanta.
And you mentioned, some of the names, the tenants, things like that, that have been around since the 70s. What's it like kind of taking on a challenge like this and redeveloping kind of an established place, kind of making it, I don't know if I say your own, but, making it something new and kind of putting something new in there, like you said, for folks that are in town for whatever entertainment they're looking for?
Well, I think one thing is important to recognize all those and to look back at the history and let that be a part of the story. So in all of the reimagining that we're doing now, we keep all that, close to heart. Tom Cousins, like he said, prolific Atlanta developer. So Atlanta, this building, they're interconnected. They're tied together, forever. CNN's global headquarters, we want all that to kind of be reflected through the reimagining and the invention of the space, and not let it dictate what we do, but we always want to pay homage to that.
And is that pretty cool, being able to have something to lean back on and kind of, weave in the old and the new in a way, or kind of, like you said, pay homage to the past, but also look forward to the future, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's cool, and it's also a challenge, right? Because you can easily fall into leaning too hard into the past. CNN is and was a great brand for Atlanta through the years and continues to be. But at the same time, it was a news agency, right? And news agencies can be polarizing, and thinking about the audiences and how we pay tribute really to, CNN as a brand and what it did for Atlanta. But again, we're looking forward and we're looking at the future, and we're looking at what this area of downtown needs, what the visitors, what the local residents need that aren't currently here. So it's, how do you have forward thinking with a little bit of guidance from the past? We do so many tours of the project with a lot of different visitors of different types. And the cliche statement that we like to make is that, it's a building that's been used for filming and production for over 30 years. but we the lens through which we look at the future is with the DNA of sports and entertainment. That's history, right, that comes from the building.
And correct me if I'm wrong, there's over 1 million square feet of space. You know, you're looking at professional, creative, media and production, retail space. What all do y'all kind of envision occupying that space, and what might it look like when it's complete?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of a lot. We do want to speak to the visitor. This is a huge tourist location, and you know, this specific part of downtown. Obviously, to his point, there's a ton of sports fans that are coming through, whether it's basketball, football, soccer, all of the things. And then, of course, we have a significant, you know, population and growing population, that people that live down here. And how can we serve all of those people? So we want interesting. We love local, but we want creative, whether it's, as what do you say, entertainments, you know, good brands of food. If it's local, even better. We want to curate a good local presence of local businesses and professionals, and highlight them in that location. What am I missing?
I think it's, you know, having the spectrum of things to do, and the food and beverage market, there's a tremendous demand for it down here. There is existing food and beverage, but there's not enough, especially walkable to the venues, and the World Congress Center being one of the major venues. So having QSR, fast food, fast casual, entertainment, like Amanda mentioned, even fine dining, you know, we use the term expense report dining, right? Because you do have visitors coming in with business intentions, and they're hosting clients or whatever it may be. And, you know, you want to have something for everybody. And the building was, of that 1.1 million feet, you know, over 900,000 of it was office. We are looking at potentially converting some of that to a combination of residential, potentially hospitality. We're working through that right now. We know that downtown desperately needs more housing, more residents, and we'd like to be part of that solution. And, you know, if you have people, if you have office workers in there, if you have residents in there, you need something that's approachable and attainable on a daily basis. But then you do have the visitors that are here, and they want to see something unique. They want Atlanta flavor, right? You know, Atlanta is a really unique city. It's an incredible city. It's grown so fast. And to us, we're trying to create this platform that allows us to really, you know, present that and give local businesses and that local flavor an opportunity to shine.
And from some of the renderings and things, it looks like there's going to be some outdoor space. Am I wrong in that? Or what all does that kind of encompass? And what's it going to look like, maybe?
No, that's a huge part of what we're trying to accomplish, is that, you know, Ryan said earlier, the building is very introverted. It is meant to be a little exclusionary. And a phrase that used to come up at another building I used to manage was like, we want to touch the street. We want to engage the street. We want it to seem inviting. So creating where there's a lot of just wall space and there's no windows even, you know, creating access points to the outside, whether it's through patio space or new entry. There's a ton of roof space that's low that's available that we can convert to, you know, patios and rooftop, you know, whether it's dining or hangout, et cetera. But that's very important to us. I mean, Atlanta is huge for like outdoor scene, period. Doesn't matter if it's 90 degrees outside. We want to sit outside with our cocktail and our family and friends. So we want to be able to provide a really good location for that.
Well, and the great thing is we do have that outdoor space. And then we have the atrium, which is almost like a hybrid outdoor space. It gets a ton of natural light, but it's shaded, it's air conditioned, it has restrooms, public restrooms, you know, so a lot of people flow through that. And the outdoor spaces, some of them can be and will likely become, you know, privately used for whether it's office tenants or the residential or hospitality components. But at the street level, a lot of those can also be activated and changed, right? Some of them may be dedicated to the restaurant or the business that's leasing space there, but a few of the other areas and some of the areas that show up in the renderings are meant to be more of, you know, event day activations, or even we talk a lot about how do we create activations when there aren't events, because again, the World Congress Center's got people here all the time, right? Regardless of a football game, basketball, soccer game, Beyonce concert, like there's thousands of people that flow through this area just for the convention business. Why not have activations for that, right? So we're looking at how we can fill those gaps.
And I like how you mentioned with, you know, folks here and all around, whether it's concerts, conventions, things like that. From previous conversations I had with the folks at Centennial Yards and, of course, folks here in the building because I work here, you know, it seems like everybody in the neighborhood, the area, whatever you want to call it, is, you know, working together a little bit on some of these spaces. I think somebody said, or somebody put it to where there's not Tex-Mex in every building, you know, around the convention center arena stadium. But I mean, has that kind of been what it's like for, you know, trying to develop some of these mixed use spaces? And how's that gone? And what's kind of the conversation been like?
It's going well. You know, the phrase rising tides rise all ships definitely applies down here. And I know that all the other development projects feel that way and agree with that notion. You know, everybody does have their project as front and center and their priority. There's so much market demand for all the things that we've talked about that whether it's, you know, Tex-Mex, like this market could support more than one, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we need to get it going, right? Like we need to turn the corner of there being so little to there being so much. And over time, it'll organically level itself out to, you know, what types of uses and what types of restaurants and things are reflected. But at the end of the day, it's a very challenging area to work in. And I can speak for all of us that are doing it, whether it's CP Group or Centennial Yards or South Downtown or any of the other projects or underground. You know, it's a downtown environment, so there's energy that's constantly going on. But now everybody's busy developing and changing this landscape. So we've got lane closures, we've got cranes, we've got material deliveries. We got all the things going on, and you know, we're very connected and have weekly meetings to make sure we're all coordinated and not getting in each other's way or minimizing, you know, when we're getting in each other's way as much as possible to, because at the end of the day, like Beyonce, she's coming this week, right? She's got a show to put on four times, and we can't get in the way of that, right? And on the flip side of the coin, like we're trying to deliver a project that will make the Beyonce experience of next year even better, right, as an example. So, and the State Farm team knows that, and they're a great partner, you know, and understanding that we got to pull the Band-Aid off and get there, but they're excited for it. And I know everybody else in the neighborhood's excited for it, as we're excited for theirs too, so.
And is that kind of cool? I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit of, I don't want to call it a headache, but you know, you got to, like you said, work around the lane closures and the development happening right now. But when you see, I don't even know the number, 50,000 people a night or something coming for Beyonce, and then, you know, Club World Cup this summer and looking forward to the World Cup next summer, and seeing all these huge crowds gather, does that kind of, you know, spark something and you just say, man, it's going to be so cool once those people can come in and experience what we'll have to offer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think collectively as a city, like this World Cup, there's this like looming deadline for whatever it is you have going on. And then we remind ourselves that, oh, well, but life will continue after World Cup and there's a whole bunch more to do after that too. But I mean, for us, we're, you know, it's sort of the new kids on the block in essence. It's wild to see how many people are floating through there for not enough for them to do. Like they're still there and you know, there's not even anything for them, you know, relatively speaking. And so being able to be a part of that and like, it makes us think of new things like, oh, we should be doing this and we should be doing that because there are people to serve and we're excited about that.
The World Cup is a big motivator, as Amanda said. It is a point in time. It's a different point in time because most of these events are just a couple of nights. It is 10, 20, 50, 75,000 people. And that this area has learned to manage that. What'll happen next year during World Cup is those numbers go from 50,000 to like a couple hundred thousand, right? And that's a different animal to the extent where it's going to have positive disruption to the area. So we have to think about it in terms of our construction projects and the development process of like, we're not getting materials in for 6 to 8 weeks during the World Cup. You know, the labor crews who have to park down here to do the work are not gonna be able to come down here and park. I mean, not easily. Right? It's going to be very difficult. So it's almost like there's going to be a blackout period. So it is, we are orienting schedules and delivery timelines to either land ahead or start after World Cup and not be going through it. And, you know, as we improve the public realm and common areas, you know, we're standing up a whole activation platform. And then we have leasing, all the retail leasing that's coming in, and some of those projects will continue to build out over time. But You know, the foot traffic situation will be an outlier next year for sure. But it is definitely validating on a weekly basis with the amount of active events that happen down here that justifies what everybody's doing and the dollars that are being invested.
And so far in the project, what are some of the things that maybe y'all are most excited about seeing come to life over the next year or so?
The atrium, our atrium space, you know, again, going back to shaded, conditioned interior space that still gets a lot of natural light. One thing we noticed with our project is it's a little bit interesting in the sense that on the north side, which is the side that the convention center is on, Andrew Young, you know, that is a lot of business. You know, we see a lot of people coming into our atrium to get lunch, sports coats, professional attire, lanyards, you know, suitcases, things like that. On the south side, which is this Centennial Olympic Park Drive side, the flow of people on that side tend to be more, you know, stadium oriented, you know, so concerts and sports, jerseys, and they all meet in the middle. So there is, and that's one of the reasons that one of many reasons that we landed on the name, the brand, the center, is that you do have folks coming together in the center of all this activity. And just creating a better ecosystem for that variety of people to have something to do. I mean, if there's a convention across the street, or even for, you know, the concerts and soccer games at State Farm Arena, or even at Mercedes-Benz, people come into the atrium hours in advance, and they sit there just to get down here. And it's almost, you know, we feel bad that, you know, yeah, they were able to get something to eat, something to drink, but that's about it. And we're just looking to the future and just cannot wait for there to actually be things to do beyond just sit and have a drink and stare at your phone.
And, you know, kind of speaking of that just a little bit, so it sounds like there's going to be stuff for, I guess, locals, regulars, or somebody, you know, that's in town for a conference, or I don't know how far people travel to see Beyonce, probably hundreds of miles, you know, people coming over from Alabama or Tennessee or something like that. So it sounds like there's going to be stuff for folks like me who, you know, would be in the neighborhood every day, or somebody that's just in town for a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the plan, is meet that dynamic where it is. Don't fight it. There's a ton of people that are coming through there, and they all have different agendas and are all there for different reasons. But there's so many options for what can be down there that would be appreciated and enjoyed by everyone.
A great outcome would be, whether you're a visitor, but even more so that you are a local, better said, there are a lot of people who still have that incorrect perception of downtown that are locals here, and it's just because they don't give it a chance. And the outcome that we are striving for is that we change that perception, and that instead of coming down for the concert, you come down for the day or the afternoon and you finish with the concert, right? And that there's plenty to do. And not only that, I mean, that will help with traffic, that will help with crowd management, all the things, but certainly drive, you know, economics of downtown, but really just change it from being an in and out for the one event and make it more of a curated, you know, outing.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a lot here in the building too, you know, have it, I mean, maybe even a weekend, you know, you make a weekend out of coming to see, keep saying Beyonce, that's the weekend that we're recording,
right.
You know, coming to see Beyonce, and you stay for the weekend and you've got stuff to do all weekend, but that would be super cool. And I mean, just has access to the space from, you know, things like MARTA, there's parking everywhere, folks can walk from a bunch of different hotels. Has that kind of played into how the space has developed, and, you know, knowing that some people will be walking up, some people will be parking somewhere nearby, or, you know, the MARTA station right around the corner?
It does. I think, you know, we're, as a society, we're car dependent, unfortunately. Atlanta is still has a large driving population, and we see it on event days. I think what's going to happen is the dependency on parking will diminish. Probably, right, you know, hopefully more use of MARTA, rideshare, things like that. But as housing increases, as hotel rooms increase, like the ability for people to be down here, a lot of what we're looking at is, you know, I think we entered the project with this notion that we had a huge dependency on parking, and where we are today, that we've definitely backed off of that, right? And we see the future of this being a much more pedestrian area. It won't be car free, like there's definitely going to be that minimum amount of parking required, but I think that, you know, it's the landscape here is changing, right? And the habits will change with it. And that's great because tourists are, you know, largely not driving cars, right? A lot of the folks coming to the convention center aren't necessarily driving in here. Some surely are, but yeah, I think changing that landscape will be a huge win.
And we kind of touched on it, but seeing, you know, the huge sporting events, I know that's kind of big for the area with, you know, the arena and the stadium right there. I mean, what kind of excites you about seeing all the folks that are coming in? And like, you know, you mentioned it could be 50,000 for some sporting events, and then next summer it's going to be hundreds of thousands of folks with Fan Fest right there at Centennial Olympic Park and maybe walking up Andrew Young to go to the matches at Mercedes-Benz. I mean, what kind of excites you about being kind of, you know, in the area and kind of right there next to a lot of action that, you know, everybody's developing around and trying to make kind of that game day experience, I guess?
I mean, it excites us greatly. Ryan and I are, especially Ryan, known for his like ideas, and he's thinking all the time about new things to do and try and what can we do. And, you know, we're working on activations. How can we, you know, Fan Fest, I can't remember how many people will be able to go to Fan Fest, but that's not how many people are going to be down here. Mm-hmm. So how exciting to have like an adjacent venue for them to go and get relief from the summer heat, but things to enjoy, food, beverage, whatever else we have going on and that we can get planned, you know, during that time. I mean, that's just great. We want to be able to provide that. I mean, it's good for us, but we want to be able to provide that as well.
It's interesting. We've owned the project for over 4 years, and it's interesting that when you stop and just watch people's behavior, especially when there's a lot of people, but around the building and inside of our building, people are looking around, right? I mean, we do live in a society, unfortunately, where there's a lot more looking down at your phone. But there are people looking around. They walk into our atrium and they look up and they take pictures of the globe and the escalator, and we still get people looking for the CNN tour, right? And they are looking for things to do, and, you know, whether it's actually something to physically do, but, you know, again, with Atlanta's cultural DNA, you know, we're standing up a gigantic arts platform with the arts community, right? And it's starting to show on the digital media, but it's going to start showing on the exterior of the building in the form of murals and sculptures, and working with Neda Abgari and Bame Joyner, and then also with SCADS. We have agreements and partnerships with both of those groups. And as we build our capital forecast, we just continue to load the ability to help subsidize and enable that. You know, and the city created Showcase Atlanta, and you know, it's a great name for what Showcase was designed to do, because that aligns well with what we've been trying to do, is, you know, being in the center and being the center, that we have the opportunity to showcase elements of Atlanta. You know, just finally giving those people who come in and are looking around, looking for something really interesting, something that'll elicit an emotional reaction, you know, is a great opportunity.
Amanda, I love that you brought up that, you know, it's a place for people to get out of the heat next summer, because I feel like with a lot of folks coming in, they might have heard of, you know, the heat in the southern United States, but coming from other areas, it should be pretty pretty eye-opening, I would think, for some folks. But yeah, I mean, just speaking of that, just what does kind of the timeline look like for everything that's going on?
We're really focused on ground plane public realm projects right now. So if you walk across the street now, you'll see that the entrance facing the World Congress Center, but also the entrance on the Centennial Olympic Park side, have been massively transformed or underway under a transformation process. We're getting ready to mobilize the interior atrium area. So there will be a huge transformation of kind of the look and feel of that space, including bringing in greenery, you know, very mature trees, a large public central bar, you know, coffee, all the things that everybody needs, activation space. And then simultaneously, you know, we are working on a pretty long list of exciting retail opportunities in various stages of deal development. So we'll have all the public realm stuff that I outlined, the entrances, the atrium, digital signs, the exterior of the building is going to get cleaned up, so it'll look, you know, fresh. all of that will be done Q2 of next year or later or sooner, pardon me, or sooner.
breaking news.
breaking news later. No, or sooner. Everything that I outlined will be done Q2 of next year or sooner. And then we'll pause for the event and we'll have a lot of, activations going on. And then once, things settle down and we can resume work, we'll be going vertical up into the towers with the plans for those areas.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I can't wait to see the atrium because the first time going up the elevator there, I think in the Omni, I didn't realize that it was glass on the back. And then I'm not a heights person. I freaked out just for a second. Luckily, I was by myself in there because I think I was going up top to take a picture of the park or something like that and just said, oh my gosh. Yeah. But yeah, that's exciting stuff. I appreciate y'all taking some time to chat and we're really looking forward to everything. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So some great insight there from Amanda and Ryan as we learn about the CP Group's vision and creativity to honoring the legacy of CNN Center, all while creating something new. Thanks again to Amanda and Ryan for chatting for a bit and giving us a peek into the future of what will be a great space. Sounds like it'll be a great spot to hit up if you're visiting GWCCA's campus, if you find yourself downtown for something, or if you're here all the time. Can't wait to check it out as the different phases are completed, so looking forward to that first phase next summer. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Athoracast. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. Until next time, we'll see you later.